Mr. Seeley is the principal of Cedar Hill Prep School, and we've had the most trying circumstances, but we must say that there was a lot of reflection involved. So Mr. Seeley, what were your thoughts in March 2020 on how we could manage the school under COVID-19?
I believe that the week or two leading up to the final decision of closing the school, there was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of conflicting reports from the CDC, from the state, from our local, municipalities. I think in my mind, I thought we needed to prepare to close, but I absolutely did not think we would be closed from March through June. So I think as I reflect with like 2 days to go, I think Thursday when the news was hitting, I was just telling the kids to pack up enough books to take home for the weekend. We knew we were going to be closed for a little bit, but we asked the kids to pack up the books, and then we closed Friday and had a teacher in service day. I could be going into another question here.
But absolutely. While you were like trying to get all this information in and pondering over it, what was the state of the people in the school? The children really did not know what was going on, but every adult was also exposed to the same kind of information. And did you feel you were absorbing it differently? They were absorbing it differently. And then how was it impacting each other?
Absolutely. So I personally, on a personal note, was not that concerned initially about the virus. It seemed, far away or not close to home. As a heart patient, I was reading enough to be a little bit concerned about that, but my age, I wasn't really concerned about my age and didn't really think that the students would affect me. But I do know that one of the most difficult parts was there might have been, 3/4 of the staff that felt that same way as me, but there was 1/4 of the staff that were very, very nervous. They were hesitant about what we were proposing to go virtual, and to go virtual with a full day schedule, a full week schedule, Monday through Friday, 8 to 3 was our game plan. We looked at a couple different, avenues and venues as far as Zoom and WebEx. I would say the keywords that I wrote down that I was thinking were hesitation, fear, resistance, confusion, and anxiety. Those were the things I felt throughout the entire campus. I tried not to show those, but a lot of the staff had those fears. And again, we have very good teachers here, but teachers who had never had to teach virtual, not even once. a lot of our staff had rarely even known what Zoom was. To prepare lessons it was difficult.
It has also to do with what you hit upon is very important, which is we have great teachers. So what comes with great teachers is they want to make sure that their brand or their way of teaching is not compromised because of unknowns. And isn't this interesting? Some people, their self-confidence is good enough that saying, okay, we'll survive. But for many, don't you think that was a big problem too?
I think it was a huge problem. And what surprised me was the better teachers, in my opinion, the veteran teachers, the teachers that have been around a long time, the teachers that I would have thought could overcome pretty much anything, any obstacle. They've been around enough years to have seen it all. Were the ones most concerned, and it was a new new to them, new tools to have learned. So you can imagine a 15, 20 year veteran teacher who's so comfortable to come to school and teach probably the same lesson she's been teaching here, she's been teaching for years, now all of a sudden has to plan differently, use technology. They were very apprehensive. And you know, I would almost use the term that teachers are perfectionists. Right. And when they don't know the field, which virtual to a lot of them was brand new, it put them in a panic. And you know, it was our job to try to calm them and tell them we were going to be okay. And I truly believe after we got started, you know, we pulled it off pretty seamlessly.
So true. Those conversations that we had with the teachers, like, you know, it's always, you know, if we had to look at a scale, there is trust, there is belief, there is disbelief. So considering everything was like just put on us, it was hard, right, to trust, believe, and I just think everybody was coping. Don't you agree?
I agree. One of the toughest things was, everybody had their own opinion on how to handle things. There was a lot of talk about this school is doing this and this. You know, I have a cousin that teaches here. I have an aunt who's in the medical field. So besides us trying to just look at the facts, trying to follow the CDC's guidelines and stuff like that, we had a lot of what I would call hearsay and everybody else's opinions that we had to rifle through. And I think, you know, I think our final decisions were based on the well-being of everybody involved and trying to maintain a solid curriculum for our students.
So one good question I have for you is, now that you said that, did you feel that the sense of conviction or like you were confident and that helped them with their insecurities and fear? Because the worst thing is if we look like, you know, if the leadership looks like they're not so sure, I think that also can have a cascading effect. And the fact that it seemed more crystal clear for us eventually helped them lean onto us.
I truly believe that. And again, I'll give you credit, Miss Nan, for I thought your leadership the Friday and Monday were incredible. That weekend too, I know there was a lot of angst. We started with Zoom on Friday. We talked about WebEx over the weekend. Smartly, I think we stayed with Zoom. But that Monday, I'll never forget, making a video with the staff. that the staff showed a lot of resistance to as we talked about it. And I really think that video set the tone for our, you know, incredible run of virtual. And I think it loosened the mood. It made people who were nervous maybe stop for a minute and think, you know what, we're going to be all right. And I know there was a lot of apprehension, especially the first week, the first month. But, you know, we were one of the few schools that offered a full day, full curriculum, art, music, gym. Other schools just didn't do it. And amazingly, with videos and technology and our kids doing push-ups and sit-ups in their own house and shooting socks into a garbage can, we did it. You know, it was a learning curve going through as we went. We realized we were getting complaints about screen time with the kids. The teachers felt a little exhausted from the prep time to prep for virtual classes. To one of the key things I remember the teachers saying was engaging 15 kids online to make sure they're engaged and involved took more energy than 15 kids in front of them. And I asked them to explain that. And they said, you know, when 15 kids are in front of you, one kid raises their hand, they talk, a suggestion lights up, kids start talking. And before you know it, the teacher's just listening and the students are doing all the talking. And they would say online, the kids seemed more apprehensive initially. It was very hard. They were in their bedrooms to get them to talk. So a teacher found themselves talking in a 50 minute class, maybe 30, 35 minutes more than they normally would, which can be exhausting. So that I found, that was something I didn't prepare for and 100%. Found interesting.
And also, like, going back, you think that they genuinely believed that we understood and accepted that these were all real struggles? Did you think they recognized that we were actually very supportive to what they were going through? And also, what I also am asking is, getting positive comments from parents, seeing children so reassured that they're still seeing the teachers, and the teachers getting that validation from everybody, really helped get through this, you think?
I do. I think, you know, the fact that we are a small community helped. I think honestly, and I'm just talking about the two of us, I think we were very positive through the whole thing. But we also were compassionate. Like I said, one of the initial things we knew, even though we went with a full curriculum, that we needed to give them a break. So, so within a couple of weeks, we implemented Fun Fridays. And then where it was less academic. And then after the first Fun Friday, we realized, wait, it was a Fun Friday, but the teachers still had to be a big part of the day. So then we started to implement this Fun Friday where students took over. And before you know it, we were able to give actually the teachers a day off here and there, and the students would run the class. So I think we learned as we went on. I think, you know, if there was a principal or a owner or a CEO who said they had all the answers and that they ran it with, they didn't.
So,
you know, every day seemed to be different. And I remember, you know, then we went through the stretch where Governor Murphy would talk about, we may be able to open April 15th. So then as administrators, here we were cruise controlling and virtual, thinking, yeah, we got this down. And now the thought of possibly reopening the school in the midst of a crisis was then also very stressful. So, and then that got postponed. And then before you know it, they said maybe May, and then maybe the end of May. And, you know, the next couple months from an administrative standpoint were very difficult to try to plan events that we knew the kids needed, graduation, school dances. We knew they didn't have the travel time. We go on trips and we had to miss special trips. So we tried our best to give the students everything that they would normally have on campus through the stress of a pandemic. And I think we did a pretty good job.
And Don, isn't it funny? So all these years we've been doing this together. Do you believe that the pandemic made us focus more on the emotional state of everybody and, you know, really be pragmatic, meaning that we had to take steps to say, look, at this point, we need to focus on the emotional well-being of everybody, which included, you know, less expectations in terms of being, accepting how much we can do in this virtual situation, but also understanding what exhaustion means, understanding what fear means, which meant your leadership, like as leaders, we have to really take 5 steps back and focus on the human aspect of life, right?
Oh, absolutely. I would say, Ms. Dan, and we've been together for 18 years or something. Yeah. We have on a yearly basis gone through regular tragedy. Employees losing relatives, you know, those are things that all of us have to deal with. And that emotional level, we've been there for each other, but COVID was a different, it was a different beast, to use that word. There was so much uncertainty that we saw emotions in people I had never seen before. And I think just trying to realize, wait, they might not have this, I might not have the same concerns as them, but as a human being, I need to be there for them and understand their concerns. Even if I thought some of them were extreme, I absolutely thought some of our teachers' concerns were extreme, but that's their concerns and that's who they are. And we had to adjust to that as well.
And I feel both of us learned so much about each person and how they react and how they conclude, right? Which we would have never known prior to COVID. In fact, it made us understand, like from an empathy point, we both had to accept that there are many ways of knowing, many ways of coping, which we didn't, you know, I think for us too, it was so insightful, right?
Absolutely.
Definitely feel for me now, I was exposed through this experience to how many people make decisions, and it's not necessarily the way you or I do decisions.
Right. I personally thought that I had my head on my shoulders, that I was making the right decisions based on the information that we had and based on the feedback we were getting. But I'll truly admit that I am a creature of habit. I am a creature of routine. So the COVID virus didn't scare me. But the lack of routine, the lack of uncertainty, you know, the uncertainty, the waking up each day, not knowing, am I going into the job? Is can I leave the house? Can I go to the store? Those things, you know, I think weighed on me. I think I was I was kind of stressed out for a couple weeks. But again, I think we handled the school and handled that stress as administrators should.
Do you think by June, we had actually helped our teachers cope better? Do you think that we got more of them to actually help us plan for September? Or do you think that it was still the same ratio? The people who were scared continued to be scared. There were some people that we were actually able to make them think like us, because obviously we both had to plan for September, and that was a whole different beast, because now we had to figure out the blended form and then the stress with, you know, teachers coming back to the school and then thinking that if they're confined in one room, they're going to get the virus versus another. So that also got you and me like having to think of so many things, right?
So I would say, I think our leadership and how we handled the school, obviously we didn't lose any employees.
No,
nobody said, you know what, I'm going to take a sabbatical, I'm going to retire. And we had plenty of people on our staff that had that capability. But I will say, I don't think at any point with as much leadership as we had, that there was ever this smooth sailing. I think with each day, you know, June, and we can talk in months, June, July, August, it started to seem like it was going to get better. And then in like July, August, there was so much confusion around the state and the country. Will schools reopen? How will they reopen? And then, like you just said, we had to come up with, now we just taught our teachers how to teach completely virtually. Now, all of a sudden, as a school, we're going to give an option of, hey, if you want to come on campus, you can. But if as a student, you want to stay home, you can be virtual. Then we had to figure out, how do we do that? How do we do this hybrid? How do we teach kids in front of us and teach them virtually? So I think, you know, June, July, August, there was still a high amount of angst. But I think we provided the tools, the tools and the plan, the safety and health plan, that made, I think we have 40 something staff members. We gave them the option in early August whether to choose on campus or virtual, and one teacher chose virtual. So I think that in itself said that our game plan was the staff was confident in our game plan, and they were willing to stick with Cedar Hill Prep and take that chance. And I think a lot of it had to do with the leadership.
You know what I find most interesting, being that science person, for me, the biggest revelation was in my logical mind. I had done so much research. So in my mind, I'm like, we'll put that whole UV equipment that we put in all the buildings and that whole UV wand and then looking at that hypochlorous acid. So in my logical mind, I would present all this and they would all listen to the science and be like, oh, we're relieved. But, you know, that's for me the biggest realization that while I could be so logical and in my mind I could be relieved, the environment around us and different people saying different things, the Lysol, or just because we were doing something different and taking that stand of, you know, like upgrading our facility to be safe. I hoped and I thought everybody would be like, oh, that's logical, but it still didn't help with the fear, right?
Absolutely not. And that's the thing about COVID was it was a different emotion that we've never had. It's just the emotion of COVID was so different than anything else. So even the best laid out game plan, you know, whatever company would say, we're going to be the safest and this and that, there was still that fear from a small amount of people. And I think one of the more difficult things when you're dealing with a group of people is the fears from a couple, depending on how they talk, whether it's the lunchroom or the staff lounge or near the water cooler, your water cooler gossip, that fear can tend to spread fear. But I think we handled it very well. Knock on wood, you know, in whatever 6-7 months, we've had 3 cases on the campus, all of which were contact traced to show they didn't happen on our campus. And then there was no spread. So to have like 140 kids on campus and 40 adults on campus, I think we're doing pretty well. And I think there's still going to be the fear. There people are now getting vaccinated and there's still the fear. There's fear about the vaccination and different strains of this virus. So yeah. I don't think we're out of the woods from the fear standpoint, but I think we've absolutely shown that we can run an on-campus school. We can run a virtual school.
And Don, one question I want to ask, do you think, you know, say like in relationships, right? Trust is all about when you see actions and someone has batted for you, then you trust more. Do you think when we run professional organizations like schools or anything, no matter what we do, trust is something that is up and down, meaning that people don't implicitly trust no matter what?
I would fully agree.
Right?
I would fully agree.
Struggle with that thing. What do I need to do more for you to trust that I would not jeopardize you? But that's a tough one, right?
Decisions made on a daily basis can affect people whether they trust you or not. And it's amazing when the bottom line is our as leadership, you try to just look at the best for everybody that's underneath you. That's the way I've always been taught as a leader. You know, whether it's the lowest person on the totem pole to the person right underneath you, you have to lead with a certain passion, a certain understanding. Everybody's different. What I think made COVID was this unbelievable fear. It was different than a fear. You know, we all fear things. You know, a lot of us fear things. And we've all been through death. You know, there's nothing like losing family members. But there was nothing I could compare the fear of people that feared this disease that I didn't know that much about. I was just going based off what the CDC was telling us, and even that I don't know was totally factual. Right. So a difficult time for everybody, I think.
So I think, don't you agree that for both of us, when we reflect, this is the time period where we were dealing with our emotions, others' emotions, and we still don't know, or we don't have a formula, because emotions are something that are impulsive, that are a state of mind. So we can only try being as supportive as we can, but at the same token, we also have to analyze the pros and cons and make sure we do the right thing, right?
Correct. I mean, yeah, when the easiest thing would have been to go all virtual, and schools did that. But did it help the students? Did it help the teachers? I think giving the option of both was the best we could do for everybody involved. We have parents who have to go to work. We have kids who kids that virtual did them right, no doubt. But we have kids that absolutely need the one-on-one, that need the socialization of being around other kids. I'm a true believer that the school needed to be open. But if we would have each day over the summer or each day come in with the same fear that a few of our staff had, and we understood their fear. But if each day I came in showing that same fear, or you came in showing that same fear, I don't think we would have had 40 people line up behind us and want to walk on campus every day.
So isn't that amazing? What a lot of people don't realize is that us having a personality to that we have each other, that we can bounce things off each other, is important. Like, leadership cannot be just one person. It has to be, but it's also like, imagine if one of us was all about fear and one of us was not, that would have also affected decision-making and what we would have done. So I think having worked with each other for so long definitely helps us trust each other because we understand where each of us comes from, and we can implicitly trust that we can share it with each other. Like the times when you say, "Miss Anne, I know you believe this, but I'm just telling you." And I think those are so important, because unless we put everything on the table, we will never make good decisions. Don't you agree?
I agree. So I would say, we've both worked in the business field. I don't think I've ever had a closer relationship with my boss. I mean, you're the boss, you're the owner of the school. But if we didn't, we've referred to each other as brother and sister. We can fight like cats and dogs, but we respect each other enough to let it go an hour later. We've agreed to disagree. But I think that's what makes good leadership. I can hear your viewpoint, you can hear mine, and we can meet in the middle. And I think what makes a good company, a school, whatever, is when you can get your entire staff to buy into that. And I think we have a few outliners. Any company that says they don't would be lying. And again, I think the fact that we kept our staff is a
truth. And I feel like that is where all organizations, for me, COVID made me more empathetic to realize, oh my God, I cannot control why someone is afraid, but I can help reduce the fear a little. And also, I must say, when I look now, just because you and I are in the midst of Middle States, it's so good that we have so many people helping us. So I feel like we'll always have a group of people who want to belong to a school. We will have a group of people who look at it as a job. And so their perspective is different, but that doesn't mean their perspective is wrong. It's just that we should lower our expectations from them, because in life, it seems like we have to have different expectations for different people. Do you feel that's true too?
Absolutely. I mean, how could you not? You know, everybody is different. You know, you can't, there is no just exact blueprint. Even though you can have a job description, you know, everybody brings a different flavor to that job. Yeah, I had another thought in my mind. I just lost it.
Is it, no, I know where you were going, because I asked you, is it okay to have different expectations for different people? And you were not so sure about that.
Again, you know, when you interview somebody, you want to expect, you know, that they're truthful to their resume, that they're truthful to their answers. And then sometimes we've talked about how difficult it is to interview. And then, you know, expectations within the classroom, you know, I truly believe we're not micromanagers and that we're not over people's backs. So you hire a good person that has 5-6 years experience, you hand them a curriculum that's very self-explanatory and just ask them to put a little twist on it themselves. You would think a great 6-7 year veteran teacher would be able to do that. And yet, you know, somebody great in an interview, energetic, the first week. I always remember my father telling me, you know, the first couple weeks or make a lasting impression, how somebody could come in the first week dressed differently, maybe not looking presentable, and then, I don't know, not living up to the expectation I just had in the interview in the first week, not the 15th year. In the first week. So yes, absolutely. You have expectations. I think in a school like this, you raise the bar and you hope that teachers and students can raise the bar and meet that level. But it doesn't happen.
So what you raise is a good, so this is what I've been reflecting on. So what is the language we have to use, or what is it that we as leaders have to explicitly show that everybody understands what that bar entails from them? And I feel like for you and me, it has been a learning curve. Some people totally understood because, you know, we have the curriculum mapped, etc. But for some people, because they never experienced it or they never went to such environments, I think the disconnect is they're not able to visualize what we want because it wasn't modeled for them. And now that is my new thing, that I need to start showing them, okay, this is how it's done in like a really rigorous place, whereas maybe you were not experienced. And unfortunately, you and I, when we are interviewing for the last couple of years, I think we have seen people interview with us who did not come from rigorous backgrounds, and it clearly showed, right?
Yeah. So the you never know what school another teacher is coming from. Same thing in an industry. You have no idea what industry they're coming from. But I would think, you know, it's more important for us to demonstrate the bar that we want, the level where we want them, because I think a lot of people in general create bad habits, you know. So if you're at a school where the bar is here, and the perception from administration is, you know, get to here and that's fine. If you can get a couple more kids up to here, that'll be fine. And then you go to a school where, you know, we want our kids up here. To some teachers, that's totally different. And I think we could probably do a better job at training those teachers. And again, I think if you look at our staff, the staff that's been with us 12, 13, 14 years, they're here and they know what we expect. But like you said, it almost thinks, and I hate to say this, that the interview pool has the talent level or what has declined a bit. And I don't know if the industry is, you know, oversaturated with teachers. I just don't know what it is, but I think we're having a tough time finding quality candidates, but the candidates that we find, I think we need to do a better job at training them to be the employees or the teachers that we want. And I think we have a game plan with that, no doubt. Yeah.
So I think, but again, so it's so interesting, right? Nothing, like, we have to constantly, is what you and I are saying, because if, you know, we live in a dynamic world, everything is changing around us. Circumstances are making each of us behave differently. So unless we're like totally clued in and connecting the dots, we may not be able to address things so that we get the outcomes we want, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Yeah. So all of that being said, you know, now we're talking, we're going through a crisis, we're going through virtual, hybrid, all different things going on in education. I personally think as administrators, we feel maybe not our students, but kids have lost, I don't know, to put a figure on it, a year, you know, this 10 years from now, we're going to look back on this and realize some academics were lost and, you
even
know,
motivation, don't you think?
Like, oh, absolutely.
In a graduating class when they were face to face, and now it's, they're like lost souls. They don't know why they feel apathy.
It almost feels like the country wants to go in this mode of virtual. And I truly believe kids need to be on campus. We need kids on campus.
They need to run. They need to play.
You know, so do I admit that the virtual has helped certain things? You know, I even think one of the questions, we were able to have communication. We were able to have meetings. You know, you could call a meeting within an hour via Zoom and everybody's there. Meeting with parents.
Don't you think our science fair, living history, we got more participation from parents and everybody.
So when somebody's demonstrating in front of an auditorium with hundreds of people and all the distractions, but when you're sitting in your own comfort of your house and you're watching the student present, I think more of us paid more attention and were able to get more, besides the student maybe even feeling more comfortable in their own home. But you know, I think society is getting a little bit lazy. I think even it's the easiest route. And again, we're in a virtual day today, but it was absolutely the right call.
Oh my God, it's so bad. And Don, don't you think for us as a school, for the first time, parents got to see how our teachers teach, and they were blown away. They were most complimentary, don't you think?
Yes. We've had many.
That was also the positive of this.
We've had a lot of positive feedback from, you know, the way we ran our virtual to how we're trying to look out for the kids to, you know, and again, we didn't even go into detail about what we've done for our staff from either a financial standpoint. If somebody needs to go virtual, we let them go virtual. So we have been compassionate, more compassionate than probably most companies with our employees. And I think that in itself has helped us maintain our staff.
Yeah. Thanks, Don. This is awesome.
All right, cool.
Really, really good.
All right, I'm going to be working on Middle State. So.
Okay.
All right.